We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. Hey, I'm ready to preach this morning. Is that okay? I was raised Pentecostal. I got a little swing to my voice, a little swing to my messages. If you guys can encourage me if you want, you don't have to. You can just sit there and cross your arms. That's fine. But if I hear an amen, I'm going to keep preaching. Is that all right? Amen. Hey, man, I'm so excited. You guys got your Bibles with you, or you got your phones with you, or whatever it is that you have with you. Can you flip with me or scroll with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 22? Acts chapter 16, verse 22. As you guys get there, I'm going to explain this for a second. Paul and Silas, Paul's one that was converted into Christianity. We had a revelation of who God was, right? He went blind for a little while. But now he's preaching and he's healing and he's reaching people with the good news of Jesus, right? What we're called to do. And Paul and Silas, they're traveling together, going to the city of Philippi at this time. And they're preaching, like I said, they're praying. And one day, as they're walking to pray for people and to pray to God, right, this woman, this slave woman, was following them. She was mocking them. She kept mocking them and mocking them. And of course, like any of us who get called, have you ever, as a Christian, you ever been called like, oh, look at this Christian. He does all, everything does good. And they just kind of make fun of you. Have you ever had people make fun of you because you're a Christian? Man, I'd rather people make fun of me than have favor with God. I know that when I'm a Christian, I've been called to live out a certain way, and I don't care what people think. So Paul gets a little bit annoyed. Literally, that's what the scripture says. Paul was annoyed. Anybody ever been annoyed? Come on. You can be honest. You're in church. You can be honest. All right. Paul got annoyed, and he commanded the spirit that the woman had inside of her out of her. He commanded the spirit out. And at that time, this was against the law to preach the news of Jesus. Anybody thankful that we live in a free country where we can get together like this and worship God, a living God? And like I said, at the time, this was against the law. And the people who this woman was a slave to were angry with Paul and Silas. So they brought him to the authorities. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, they emphasize it one more time, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet into stocks. Amen. I'm so excited this morning, guys. I'm so excited. Anybody like sports here? Sports? Any sports fans? Like all kinds of sports, right? February 5th, 2015. Now, if you're not from New England, I understand you don't have to clap. But if you're from New England, I know what you were doing that day. Or at least I hope and I pray that I know what you were doing that day. On this day, the New England Patriots took Super Bowl 51 back to New England, back to Gillette. Come on, it was a good day. I was praying that morning. It was a good day. And I don't know if you remember the game, but it was a pretty historic name. Historic game. Anybody remember that game? It was intense. It was intense. By halftime, we were down 21-3. 21-3. And at that point, you know, people started shutting off their TVs, thinking that nothing was going to happen, right? 21-3. And then I remember my wife and I, we were at her family's house, and we decided, you know what, let's go back home. It's nothing's going to change, but let's keep the TV on. We turned the TV on back. And we're just talking and watching at the same time. And what happened next was nothing short of a miracle. 25 points to tie it up, 28-28 to take it into overtime. Come on, how crazy is that? That doesn't just happen. Like I said, a lot of people shut off their TV, but little did they know they were about to miss a miracle. Now, I don't know if you're here this morning, and you might be going through a lot of stuff. You might feel like nothing, like there's no hope on what you're going through, the struggle that you're in right now. You may have been ready to give up and maybe turn off the TV. But let me tell you, God is about to do a miracle in your life. He's not done with you. He's just getting started. This miracle is going to catapult you into the next season of your life. And does anybody believe that this morning? God is going to do something this morning. He's a God of overtime. I love that. He's a God that works in the overtime. Just when the devil thought that he had Jesus, 3 days later, he came back to life. And I see that cross back there, and it's still empty, which means my God is still living. My God is still doing miracles today. Because he's a living God. He's a living God. A God of overtime. I love that. And I need you guys to stand up just for a quick second. I know this is not a workout. I just need you guys to stand up this morning. Because I want you to declare the title with me. It's a declaration of faith. It's not just a title, amen? I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I believe if you declare this with faith, things are going to move this morning, amen? Come on, say this with me. It is not over. One more time. It is not over. No matter what you're going through, no matter the season that you're in, it's not over. I know what the cancer seems to be, but it's not over. God is still moving this morning. He's still moving mountains. Have to continue to have faith in this season because it's not over. Come on, you can have a seat. It's not over. Oh, man. I'm so ready. In this story, we see that Paul and Silas have come to the end of the road. We see that their feet are clamped and that they have nowhere to go. In fact, it seems like they've lost all hope. But they live, they serve a living God. Now, I got to tell you this. They did nothing wrong according to God, but they did everything wrong according to society. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I feel like a lot of times in my life, I'm trying to do all that God has called me to do, but it seems like it just does not seem to work in this world. But did you know you're not of this world? Did you know you do not serve this world? You serve a God, amen, who's called you to live a certain way. And I don't know about you, but there's been so many times where I feel like, God, I'm trying to do this, and I know that I'm living according to your will, but it does not seem to happen. I don't know if you're here today, and maybe you tried many things. Maybe you've been praying for your family. You've been praying that your children come to church, and it's just not happening. You've been praying for your marriage, and it seems like things are getting worse, and it's not happening. Or maybe you've been praying to have a child, and it seems like you're doing all that you can, amen. You're doing all that you can, and it's just not happening. And you're wondering why, and you're questioning a lot at this time, and you're wondering if there's any hope left. The fact is, the enemy is trying to kill the potential that is hidden inside of you. There's so much potential in you. It's an explosion that's about to come to pass, that favor is going to pour out into your life and your family. Can I tell you, the favor that is in your life is not just for you, it's for your family and friends too. Anybody you come across with, they will feel that favor and they will see it. So in verse 22, we read that a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. Anytime you try to do something, whether it's in the church, understand this, just because you're in these walls and you feel safe, when you're out there, you're still doing the same work, right? We're still doing the work that God has called us to do. So just because we're in the church doesn't make a difference. When we're out of the church, we realize it's not as easy as it seems. It's not as, I don't know about you, but I didn't become a Christian to be liked. I became a Christian because I wanted to win lives for Jesus, right? Because he saved me. I wanted a relationship with God. That is why I became a Christian. I hear a lot of people all the time, no one likes me anymore. I lost all my friends. And I don't know why I just did that voice, but that was a really weird voice. But people say all the time, I'm losing friends and I'm losing family. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came not to unite people, but to turn people against each other because there's one God, one answer, one way. And whoever doesn't want to go through it, it's going to go the opposite direction. But you got to keep pushing forward. Regardless of what your family says, regardless of what your friend says, you got to stand and not compromise the gospel. And I just love this scripture. It's a mob quickly formed against them. Did you know that Satan, the word Satan actually means adversary? That means you have someone always consistently standing up against anything you're trying to do, whether it's for the church or not. There's someone always standing up against you. And he will do all that he can to get to you. And he's not just coming after you, he's coming after your family as well. I don't know about you, but there's been many times where I've been in the church and I'm doing all that I can and things are going well for me, but it seems like my family's falling apart. It seems like my friendships are falling apart. Well, I remember when Pastor Jordan and I first got married, it was amazing, an amazing wedding. We were so blessed. Everyone in the church just played a part in it. And we felt like, man, this is going to be the best year of our lives. The easiest year of our lives. Any married people, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best year. And it really was. But as soon as we got home, we just got hit with so many storms. And I was wondering, God, why? Because isn't this what you called us to do? Isn't this what you wanted us to do? Why are all these things happening? But let me tell you this. You have an adversary. And the devil understands that where two or more are united in prayer and agree on something, there is power. So I don't know if you just got married. I don't know if you've been married for a long time and you're starting to walk with Jesus and you realize all these storms are coming into your life. There's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. It's because there's power in a couple. There's power in unity. And the devil is scared of the potential that is hidden in your couple. Come on. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them." And have overcome them because the one who is in you, come on, is greater than the one who is in the world. Anybody thankful for this good news? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Anything you've come across. And I love it. In verse 23, it said they were severely beaten. Anybody been beaten by life? Like you feel like you've just been punched nonstop. And I think Pastor Chad said this one time where there's this boxing strategy where I guess you go against the, what do you call those? The ropes? The ropes? Rope-a-dope, that's what it's called. You go against the ropes and you take all these hits. And I feel like in my life, I've taken a lot of hits. But that just meant that I was saving my energy so that when I was up here today, this day, this very day, I knew I was going to swing back. And all the things that the devil threw at me and my family, I was going to throw back at them. And Jesus was going to multiply their strength instead. Come on. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say it won't hurt. It just says it should not prosper. You will feel pain. You will feel pain. It will hurt. It will not feel right at the time. You feel like you're falling apart, but it will not prosper. Let me tell you, that struggle, that issue, that problem, that pain has an expiration date. And I believe that it's going to happen today. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. I feel like I'm flying and these screens are not catching. I'm so used to preaching in the youth side. Where I just fly through these. John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Take heart because I have overcome the world." He's overcome the world. So no matter what you're going through right now, Jesus has already overcome it. Isn't that good? If God is with you, nothing can stand against you. And in verse 24, it said that the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. This sounds like the end, doesn't it? This sounds like a lot of situations we've been in our lives where it felt like, this is it. This is the end. I literally cannot move. I can't do anything. I'm done. And this is how Paul and Silas should have felt. This is how they should have felt. But watch what the next verses say. In verse 25. Oh, this is good. Around midnight. Come on, look at the person next to you. Tell them, around midnight. Around midnight. Midnight's happening today. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Oh, my goodness. I love that it says around midnight. Around midnight, because you know what midnight means? Midnight. I love you, Nadine. Midnight. This is what midnight means. Midnight symbolizes a new day. So you may have been fighting through the night, but let me tell you, there's a new day in the horizon. And it's here today, and today's the day that God is going to take you into this next new season of your life. Amen? Come on. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 5, it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." You're about to understand what true joy means when you overcome this prison. My question is, what are you doing in your midnight? What are you doing right now? What are you doing in this moment where you feel like you're struggling? You may have been complaining up until now, but what are you doing in your midnight? Because what you do at night will definitely have an impact on what happens in the morning. What are you doing at midnight? If you want to be able to see through your prison, I have a couple points for you guys. Is that all right? Just a few. If you want to see through your prison, number one, you've got to be willing to put a praise on your prison. You got to be willing to put a praise on your prison. Now, it's easy to worship in the morning when everything has passed, when you feel like you've been blessed, when you feel like you were able to pay the bills, when you feel like the healing actually happened and you leave the hospital. It's easy to worship then, but can you worship when you're in the hospital? Can you worship when the disease is not responding? Can you worship when you can't pay the bills? That is when it really matters. That is what faith is about. Not seeing any movement, but you know that God is on the move. Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns. And to me, I'm thinking, what are you guys doing? Because I would be trying to break those things off my feet. I'll be trying to break free. Now, a lot of you guys, maybe you've been trying to get free. You've been trying to do it on your own, but you understand that there's nothing you can do that God can't do for you. There's nothing that you're trying to do that is actually going to get you where you want to be. And I can't imagine just Paul and Silas sitting there worshiping, worshiping. Now, worship, it can't be conditional. Worship is not about, well, I feel like worshiping today, so I'm going to worship today. I had a good morning. My husband and I didn't argue, so I'm going to worship this morning. Amen. Some of you guys are like, no, we did just in the car. And we came in and we still worship. It's not about a feeling. Because a lot of times I get up there on Wednesdays, and I told the youth this once. I said, I've gotten up here before, and I've had youth come up to me afterwards saying, hey, that encouraged me. And I'm like, I'm so thankful, but I go home at night, and I'm hit with my reality. And a lot of times, you guys don't see this, but a lot of times people get up here on stage, preachers or pastors get on stage, and they're trying to put your pieces back together when their life is falling apart. But you know why? Because it's not about a feeling. It's about a decision that we made. When I accepted the call of my life to become a pastor, I knew there's going to be times when I get up here and I feel like I'm broken inside. But I believe that God has put me back together. I'm making a decision to get up here and preach the word of God because His word is living. His word is living. It's not about your position. It's about your perspective. Worship may not change your situation, because I tell you, you're going to get out of here this morning. And like I said, you're going to go into your real life and you're going to understand it's still the same. Things are still going the same. It might not change your situation, but it can change your spirit. It might not change your situation, but it will change your spirit. We don't worship to receive. We worship because we have received. If you got nothing to be thankful for this morning, be thankful that Jesus hung on that cross for you. And if He does nothing else again from here on out, He's done more than enough for us already. Some of you guys may know this. I've shared this story with some of you guys. And I'm the youngest of three brothers. My oldest brother, when I was about 7 years old, he passed away. And he had a cancerous tumor, and a year later ended up having a stroke. And I don't remember much, really, because I was about 7 years old. But I remember that they brought him home from the hospital after the stroke, and he was paralyzed. He couldn't move, couldn't really talk for about 3 months, and he passed away. And I remember it was about 2 weeks prior to him passing away. And my brother was saved. He was a Christian. In fact, I shared a picture with the youth a while back where he was preaching. He was 14 years old, 13, 14 years old. He was preaching to youth. And there was this one time where I remember he had a room, right, where all the nurses would be, and there was no one there at the time. There was a hallway next to his room, and there was a window that you could look inside of his room. And I remember one day I walked by, and there was worship always playing, worship music always played in the room, because even when you don't feel like worshiping, there's got to be a move of God, an atmosphere in the room. And I remember I walked by, and I looked inside, and this is real. I looked inside, and all I saw was my brother, who could barely move, who I knew was at the end of the road. And he had his hand raised up to heaven. And he was making sounds. It wasn't a song, but he was making a sound. And the Bible tells me, lift up a sound of worship, a sacrifice of worship. And in that moment, I didn't think much of it, but looking back at it now, I think, if it's the last thing that he did, he wanted to lift up the name of Jesus. And I think in my life, when I get up here and I have nothing to lift up my hands about, but I know and I think, what is my excuse? Because if he couldn't move, the devil took away his movement, but he didn't take away his praise. The devil may have taken something away from you this morning, but he did not take away your praise, and he will not get your praise. Come on, somebody. He did not take away his praise. And he knew in that moment he did not have much time left. But he could lift up his hand. And I don't know what you have this morning, but I know you got a worship inside of you that's just waiting to come out. There's something inside of you that's just waiting to come out. So you got to be willing to put a praise on it. In Psalms chapter 107, verse 6, it says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Come on, somebody. Does anybody believe that God can snap your chains this morning? I get up here sometimes and I'm worshiping and I love to move around. If you watch me this morning and I have my hands out like crazy, it's because I love to worship God. And when I lift up my hands, of course, it's a sign of surrender, right? But every time I lift up my hands, I also thank and I show off that the chains that were once there are not there anymore. And I like to show that off because it shows the devil that although you had me before, you will not have me today. And the chains are not there anymore. And I am free to worship God. Come on. I'm free to worship God this morning. Number one, like I said, put a praise on your prison. Amen. Number two, write this down. Don't get planted in your prison. Do not get planted in your prison. Some people have accepted their prison. They have found their identity in their prison. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that some people here today have called themselves broke. I'm meant to be broke. I'm meant to be sick. I'm meant to be like this. I'm meant to be chained. I'm meant to be a slave to this disease. I'm meant to be like this. Maybe you found your identity and you have just accepted it, but do not accept it as your identity. We shame ourselves into that belief. Well, I did this in my past, therefore I deserve this. We don't live based on what we deserve. We live based on what Jesus says we need. He made us worthy. We're not qualified, but we are chosen by Him. Amen. We don't live based on what we deserve. So let me tell you, you got to snap those chains off of you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Let me tell you, there is power in your words. There is power in your tongue. There's power in the things that you speak into your life. I have so many friends that they just speak so negative. And I remember seeing my buddy one time at the gym, and I'm talking to him, and I'm telling him, hey, you know, how are things going? How's everything? He's like, well. Huh, well, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that means. Huh, well. And I'm saying, hey, he's asking me, and I'm saying, well, you know, things are awesome, you know. Jordan and I, you know, he's a high school friend. Jordan and I, you know, we're in a church and we're just serving God. It's awesome, you know. I'm working and I'm blessed and I have all this stuff. And I know that it's not about what I have, it's about who I have, amen. And he just kept saying, oh, that's awesome, but yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. And he's accepting that, he's putting that negativity into his own life. A lot of times that's what we do. We say, well, it is what it is. I guess it's supposed to be like this. I guess I'm supposed to live this way. I guess I'm supposed to not be able to pay my bills. And we joke around about it, but let me tell you, those jokes, there's truth in what you speak. But that's not how God has called us to live. Amen? Some of us, in fact, have started to build our lives around our prison. We started to build our lives around our prison. Some of you guys know I have a dog. Her name is Clara. She's the worst, okay? I'm trying to put it in the nice way, but she's terrible. And if you've ever had a puppy, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the cute little puppies that just kind of walk around and looks like a little mouse going around the house. No, I'm talking about a real-sized puppy. And she's wild. When we first got her, I don't know why, but we decided we were going to get her during Christmas time. I didn't know what it was like to have a puppy, so I put her in my living room, and she destroys my Christmas tree. And I'm thinking, what is this? God, I did not pray for this. Lord, this is not my calling. And she's just going wild and destroying everything. And me and Pastor Jordan are looking at each other like, this is not what we signed up for. This is not what we wanted. And she's destroying the entire apartment. And we started slowly, right, with a tear in our eyes, started taking away all these decorations, especially Pastor Jordan. During Christmas time, you want to keep those decorations up. And we started taking one thing at a time, and we started moving pillows. We had no pillows in our couches. We took away a rug. We took away every decoration. It looked like a jail cell. I felt like I was Paul and Silas at that time. And I was like, what are we doing here? And Clara's just destroyed. She destroyed our carpet. She's eating walls. What is this? I did not sign up for this. And then I realized there was a moment in time where we looked at each other and we said, we're not going to allow this dog really to dictate our lives. So one by one, we started putting the stuff back. We started putting the stuff back and we realized she began to adjust to it. And before we know it, she wasn't bothering anymore. See, a lot of us, we've taken away a lot of what we truly believe in for our prison. You're struggling with finances. Well, I guess I don't have to tithe really anymore. I can't pay my bills, so I can't bring the offering into the house. Well, my family doesn't say, you know, my family doesn't want to come to church anymore, so I'm going to stop inviting people all together because I feel rejected by them. You've started to take away things in your life because of your prison. But let me tell you, that is not what God has called you to do. God has called you to stand up against your prison and understand that he has already overcome that for you. You cannot be willing to take away stuff. In fact, you're going to take territory. You're going to take territory in your life. Amen. God is going to turn this upside down so he can elevate you all the more. Some of us, we've given up too much for this prison, but it's time that we stand up. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm waiting for the scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. Praise God. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If the Son has set you free, you are free. Amen. Come on. And number three, see the purpose in your prison. See the purpose in your prison. This doesn't mean accept your situation, but learn from your struggle. Don't accept your situation. I'm not telling you to accept it, but see that there's purpose through it. Amen. Don't cry to quit. I love this saying. Don't cry to quit. Cry to keep going. Don't cry because you're done. Cry because you got more fight in you. Man, let me tell you, those tears and those long nights that you've been praying, those times when you worship, you know what true worship is? Worshiping in your car when nobody's around. You know what true worship is? Worshiping without music. When you're in your room by yourself, in your prayer room. That's what true worship is. When no one is around, when it's you and God and you have no reason to worship, but you got something left in you and you know that what is coming in, you got to pour out. That's real worship. Don't cry to quit, cry to keep going. There is purpose in your pain. I don't know if you've been praying for people lately, but I know that my beautiful parents are here today, and I know that my parents, they prayed for me for 20 years, and they saw no change. I'm thankful. I'm thankful because they did not give up. They did not give up. They saw no change. In fact, they saw things getting worse. But the Bible says we don't focus on what we see. We focus on what we don't see. Because God is moving not on what we expect him to move in, but on what we truly need him to move in. So if something needed to wait, there was reason behind it. If something needed to wait, there was reason behind it. So let me tell you, I don't know if you've been praying for your marriage. I don't know if you've been praying for your kids. I don't know if you've been praying to find somebody and get married. Amen. But it's coming. It's coming. Pray according to God's will for your life. You don't know God's will, get into his word and learn his will. And you can pray according to it, believing and knowing. See, that's the difference between, well, I kind of hope it happens. No, I don't hope that it happens. I know that it will happen because that's what the word of God tells me. So it will come to pass. Don't give up in your prayer. You know, I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I thought I was going to trip on that word, but I didn't. Praise God. The Garden of Gethsemane. There we go. The Garden of Gethsemane. I think about him and how he prayed and he was crying tears of blood. I felt in my life many times where I felt like I was crying tears of blood. Not literal, but figuratively, I felt just pain coming out of my eyes because I didn't want to go through what I was going through. And I said, God, if this is your will for me to be here right now, to see the purpose in it, God, I'm going to get through it. I know that I'm going to get through it with you. But Lord, if it can happen another way, God, please. And this is the prayer that Jesus was doing. And you know what? Jesus was a real human being. He was fully God, fully human, which means he felt what we felt. He felt what we felt when his best friend, John the Baptist, passed away. It says that he left. He left to want to be alone. When Lazarus, his friend, died, it says that he cried with his sisters. He felt pain. He felt what we felt so that he could relate to us in a real level. And I think about him and he could have easily said, you know what? I'm not doing this. But he knew there was purpose behind his pain. There was purpose behind his pain. And if it wasn't for what he did that day on the cross, we would not be sitting here this morning being thankful, being able to live the lives that we live. It's not about feeling blessed. It's about knowing that you're blessed even when you don't feel it. All right? I love it. He hung on that cross so that we wouldn't have to. He died. This is what he died just in case. He died for a just in case. Just in case you chose him. That's why he died. In verse 25, it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Could God be trying to use your struggle to reach other people? Ask yourself that question. Could God be trying to use my pain right now to reach other people? Because there's a lot of times when we go through things and we don't realize that people are watching. It says that the other prisoners were listening. People are watching to see how you're going to respond to your pain. And I know that, like I said, I get up here sometimes and I'm worshiping and I'm saying, God, you're doing this. You're doing this right now because I feel a lot of pain. But if I can just lift up my hand and I see somebody in the back that sees that and lifts up their hands because they're in pain as well. But they know that if somebody who's going through it, who's already been through it, got through it, God's going to get them through it. That's a lot of through it, but God's going to do it. That was a wrap. That was a wrap. Amen. I rapped earlier this morning. Praise God. See, Paul and Silas, they did not care who was around. They didn't feel like worshiping, but they knew it wasn't about a feeling. It was about a decision. Now, you might say, God can't use me. There's no way God is going to use this story. It's too bad. It's wrong. What I did is wrong, and this pain that I feel, this struggle that I'm going through, God is not going to be able to use this. Wait a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. It says this. God chose things despised by the world. Things counted as nothing at all. I don't know about you, but I've done things in my life that I thought were not going to be worth anything. I've been in pain, and I've been in struggles in my life, in prisons, where I thought, no one's going to be able to see this anyway. I'm just hurting for no reason. Things counted as nothing at all. And use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God is going to use your story to bless somebody else so that they don't have to go through what you went through. That is what Jesus did. He came and died and was hung on that cross so that we wouldn't have to go through what he went through. And that's what he's going to do for you this morning. See the purpose in your pain. I know you can't see the gift right now, but can you see the giver? Can you see the giver? And I'm going to finish with this. You might say, like I said, I'm too far away from God. I'm too far away for him to use me. The thing that I've done, you don't understand, it's disgusting. I thought about that in my life, things that I've done, where I was at. I don't know if you see me here, but I'm pretty young. I'm pretty young. But I've seen a lot in my life, and I've done a lot in my life. And at points in my life, I thought, there's no way God's going to use me. My parents kept praying for me, telling me I'm going to be one day preaching the word of God and reaching people for God. And I thought, there's no way because of what I've done. But God did not choose you based on what you've done. He's chosen you based on what he knows you will do. He's chosen you based on your calling, not what people think about you, not what people say about you, not what you did in your past. He's chosen you based on what he's going to do through you today. Today. Now, I'm not talking about your past. People think your past, oh, you're talking months ago. I'm talking the moment you walk through these doors, that's your past. I don't know what you did this morning either, but I know that God can use you from here on out, regardless of what happened. Regardless of what happened. The Bible talks about Jesus healing a leper. I'm just going to finish with this. He healed the leper. Now, for those of you who don't know what leprosy is, it is a skin disease that bubbles up the skin and it makes it fall off. Now, these people, they were considered disgusting human beings. They were quarantined with each other. Nobody could touch them because that's how it was contagious. That's how people contracted the disease, through touch. They were considered unclean. Come on, I'm thankful that I'm unclean because God cleansed me. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, this is Jesus. A leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know what I love? That it says that Jesus touched him before he healed him. That he touched them before he healed them. Let me tell you, God is willing to touch you and your struggle. You're not too far away from God's reach. He's willing to reach out to you regardless of where you are. He wants to embrace you before he heals you. He wants to hug you before he corrects you. He wants to show you his love before he shows you the way. And this morning, I believe that people need to make decisions to have a relationship with this living God. You may have been trying to do this on your own, but this tells me that God is not too far away from anybody. Come on, let's close our eyes and bow our heads.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.